Amen. I'm like shaking, not from fear, but from, I was telling my husband last night as I'm getting ready to go to bed, God said I should change my message. And so I could not send my PowerPoint slides. I spent weeks just, you know, I had this message in my spirit that I strongly believe was from God, and I know it's from God. But the Holy Spirit said, that's not for today. So last night, I think I went to bed at 11, just putting this together. And so the reason why I'm shaking is because I know someone's life is going to change this morning. Amen. I know my life is going to change this morning. Gleek, where are you? Thank you for this morning. You guys will not understand. Just as I was watching you in worship, I'm pulling a Pastor Mirella. You carried that worship. It was your spirit that carried that worship. And I really sense God say that He has put a warring spirit in you. And that's the next season for ICC worship. So you're going to be instrumental in that. And that means you need to step out what is comfortable, from what is comfortable, from what you know. And I know, because we've talked about this, in your heart of hearts, God wants that warring warrior to come out, because that is what's going to take ICC to the next level. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you so much for this message that is before us, oh God. And Lord, I just avail myself to you and I say, Lord, take over everything. Bring up the stories you want to bring up that I don't want to share in public. Just if it's what you want me to do this morning, do that. Holy Spirit, I cover everything with your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of us have been to the doctor? I don't know, maybe, you know, there's some people, I actually know people that have never been to a doctor. But normally when you go to a doctor, to see a doctor, they'll ask you, what are you feeling? Like, what are the, like, why are you here? Like, every time I see my doctor, she looks at me, she's like, why are you here? And I always feel like she's interrogating me, like I'm not meant to go there. And I'm trying to, I then try and explain what I'm feeling in my body or what my kids are feeling in their body. Excuse me. But what I do actually describe is the symptoms of whatever is happening. Most times I actually don't know the root or the cause of the thing that's happening. For example, when Ethan was about 2, I think, I took him to the doctor. He had rashes just around his body, mostly around his legs. I took him there. I didn't know what it was. He was scratching quite a bit. You know, I tried a few home remedies, but it didn't help. So I took him to the doctor, and the doctor's like, what are the symptoms? I was like, he's got a temperature. It's like, okay, is he restless? I'm like, no. Is he eating? No. Is he sleeping well? Yeah. And then she looks at it. She's like, you know what? I don't know what this looks like, but I think it's chickenpox. So let's treat him for chickenpox. So he was in daycare. We had to pull him out. I don't know what the quarantine period for chickenpox is. And honestly, I actually didn't pay much attention. I was like, you know, I've had chicken pox. It just wears out and it goes. About a week later, I'm giving him a bath and I noticed his feet were peeling. Like the skin around his feet was peeling. And then I remembered there was an outbreak of hand, foot and mouth at daycare. And I was like, oh my God, we missed it. So I missed it. The doctor missed it. They treated him for something he didn't have because the symptoms matched. A friend of mine's been to the doctor. Well, he overslept. And he went to the doctor. He's like, oh, doctor, I'm so sick. And the doctor's like, what's wrong? He's like, my throat. His throat was fine. So the doctor's looking. He's like, there's nothing wrong with your throat. I don't see anything. He's like, And the doctor's like, do you just want a sick note? He's like, yes, I want a sick note. Amen. Symptoms, what are they? What's their purpose? 3 John 2. So the message, the title God gave me yesterday was a soul health check. Just after our worship, after that powerful, thank you, Josephus, for that powerful church news. Our soul, the word Pastor Mirella spoke over the church. You know, our soul, that's where everything sits. That's where our mind sits. That's where our emotion sits. That's where our feelings sit. That's where the core of who you are, who I am, that's where it sits. And so 3 John 2, this is John writing, the words of Jesus. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I'll read that again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. What does prosper mean? The Oxford Dictionary describes it as this: to succeed in material things, to be financially successful, to flourish physically, to grow strong and healthy, to make successful. That last make successful, the example they had was God makes you successful. So that is what God is saying when he says, I wish that you would prosper as your soul prospers. So what is the soul? Your soul is your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions. So spiritual growth in you and I only happens when our soul is growing. So we are three parts. We are tripartite people. We have soul, body, and spirit. So when we get born again, our spirit becomes perfect. Our body, regardless of what you and I might think, is actually sinful. Our body is just sinful. And our soul is in the middle. Depending whether your spirit or your body, whichever is stronger, pulls you in that direction. So this verse, God is saying that he wants us to prosper as our soul prospers. So for my soul to prosper, that means my spirit needs to be speaking the louder than my body to my soul. Amen? So what does the health of your soul look like? This, like last night, I couldn't sleep. I'm like, God, do I really want to prosper like my soul is prospering? If my prosperity is based on the health of my soul, is that the condition I want to be in? If I'm anxious, if I'm depressed, if I'm fearful, that's all in my soul. And this verse is saying, I want you to prosper in all things and in health, just as your soul prospers. So if that is the measure that is going to determine my prosperity in spirit and in the physical things, I don't want to prosper that way, because that condition of my soul is not, I don't want that to flow through every part of my life. So do you get excited knowing God will prosper you as your soul prospers? Sometimes, yes. You know, sometimes you've got moments when you're like, yes, I'm really connecting with God. My soul is prospering. Nothing is causing me, you know, any angst. But there's times you can barely get out of bed. And those moments, you do not want to be prospering as your soul prospers. How do you know if your soul is not prospering? Pastor Mirella has been doing an amazing teaching the last couple of months. It's when your circumstances do not agree with the word of God. So if God says, by his stripes you are healed, and there's sickness in your body, it means there's a part of your soul that is not prospering. If God says you're going to be the head and not the tail, and you're always coming last, circumstances keep pushing you aside, it means there's a part of your soul that is not prospering. The good news is, God is there to help us, to move us forward so that we can prosper. Amen. So today we're having a soul health check. So as you sit there, you have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. The same way you go to the doctor and he interrogates you, or she interrogates you, or she just asks you, what is happening? As you sit there, you have your own conversation with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, these are the symptoms in my life. What is the root cause of why I am experiencing these symptoms? Amen? Amen. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Have you ever been fine? You know, everything's fine, you, and then you just hear bad news. I just get this sinking feeling in my soul, just in my, I don't know, my soul, my tummy, whatever, you know, you get, it just pushes down. Physically, I can feel my palms start to sweat. I can feel sweat popping out in my head. I feel lethargic. I just want to sit down. That's from hearing news. Physically, I'm actually healthy. But because I've heard news that breaks or crushes my soul, my spirit, the symptoms start to come out into my natural body. Amen. Proverbs 18, verse 14. The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? You know, so many people die before their time comes because of brokenheartedness. So many, if your research actually shows that if your mind, your mental state is not right, you can induce sickness in your physical body and actually die. There's cancers that are linked to the state of our minds. That's how strong a crushed spirit can affect you and I. Amen. So what are some of the symptoms that you have a sick soul or a crushed spirit? There are so many. I only have a few here. Flashes of the past that bring you pain. Is there an event in your life, or is there someone in your life that when you think about them, you start to have the same emotions you had when that event happened? Just thinking about someone, just notice your physical body like I described. What starts to happen to your body? Does your heart rates increase? Do you just, you know, say, you know what, I don't want to see that person, and you just walk away? Or you're walking in judgment and you see someone when something happened, you'd rather turn back and go the other way. That's a symptom that there's a sick, you've got a sick soul. That's a symptom that there's unforgiveness in your heart that you need to let go. Another sign, another symptom that you have a sick soul is you put guards up. Do you protect yourself so that you do not experience hurt or pain because of something that happened in the past? I've been friends with girls that are like, you know what? I'm not going to date that type of guy anymore because Peter hurt me. And you put a blanket absolute over all the men just because of one person. Or you vow to never speak again to someone or even just not trust anyone again. How many of us here truly, truly trust someone? You know, there's different levels of trust. I can trust you to know my public life. Then I can trust you to know my work life. I can trust you to know my school life. I can trust you to know my home life. But how many people do we actually trust with ourselves? Do we actually say, hey, I'm having a bad day. I just need you to stand with me, to pray with me. Do you keep people at a distance because you're protecting yourself because of something that happened in your past? Do you have an explosive temper? You know, actually, anger is a symptom of hurt, of brokenness. Anger is just saying, hey, stay away from me. I've been hurt. I don't want you anywhere close to me. So you put a guard around your life. Do you see discipline and correction as a sign of rejection? So maybe it's your work and your boss says, oh, actually, can you change that report? I don't like the formatting of that. Just those words in your mind, do they translate, I have been rejected? Do they translate, I am not good enough? If they do, that is a symptom that your soul is sick. By the way, all this applies to me, so I don't think. Fear. Fear robs us from having prospering souls, from walking into our destinies. The powerful word Pastor Marilla brought this morning over the church. We all want to see. We all want to hear. We all want to conceive those things that God has created for us, all our individual destinies, all our destiny as ICC. But if we have fear, you know, when God speaks a word, it is an invitation to partner with him. It is not automatic just because someone has spoken the word, it's going to happen. It's actually God saying, my daughter, I'm inviting you to partner with me. You're standing there. God is saying, here is where your destiny is. But you have to walk the journey. You have to walk it one step at a time. And what does that mean? It means your soul needs to be prospering. It means you need to prepare to hold the destiny that God has for you. How many of us have let fear stop us from stepping out into what you know you need to step out into, but you still don't step out into it because you don't know what it's going to be like. You know where you are. You're like, you know what? Ah, it's uncomfortable, but I know what it looks like. I've got my guards. There's safety in this area that I am. How many of us have let fear stop us from taking the next step? In my life, many times I've let fear stop me. Many, many times. Either to do the right thing, to step out of a season, to stop talking to certain people, to start talking to certain people. I'm like, you know what, God, it's just safe. You know what, I'll just stay here. Many times I have done that. Many times I've even let fear stop me from apologizing when I'm wrong because I didn't want to be embarrassed or because I didn't want the shame or who knows, the pride. I just wanted to uphold my pride. Many times I've let fear rob me. Fear is the antithesis of faith. So you've heard the phrase, do it afraid. Joyce Meyer is very popular for saying it, do it afraid. And this morning, to some of us, God, the Holy Spirit is saying, do it afraid. Whatever it is that he's charging you to do, do it afraid. Abraham, the story we heard from Offering, do you think he was happy and jumping, going, you know, to sacrifice his son? He probably had a crushed spirit. But you know what? He obeyed God. And he only got his victory. He only got his answer when he obeyed God. He went up that mountain. He went afraid. Amen. Another symptom, do you fail to trust people? You might have had an absent father or a strict father. Now you find it hard to trust God. You find it hard to trust people in authority. Or you just have, you rebel against authority. That's also a sign you don't want to trust. I'll be sharing my life story today. I'm going to be honest. Antonella will probably get the tissues out for me and anyone else. My father had four wives, not at the same time. My mother was the second wife. I don't even know the history of it, honestly, the full history of it. But I've got my half-brothers from my father's first wife. I've got a half-brother and a sister. They both live in Brisbane. Never met them. I think I only met Onai after I even had Ethan. So that was like in my late 20s. I met him for the first time. I invited him to our wedding. He didn't come because he was in Australia. And then about 3 years ago, he sends me a text message. You know, you would talk, but it was just always awkward and weird. It was just, you know, what it's like. Maybe you don't, but it's just weird. Trust me. And he sends me this text message, long. And he says to me, I want to forgive you. So he's forgiving me. It's like, I want to forgive you. And I want you to forgive me because I've harbored resentment in my heart. Because our father, he's like, I can't even call him dad because he was never a dad to me. It's like our father always measured me to him. So he resented me because my dad used to say to me, why can't you be like her? Why can't you do like her at school? Why can't you come and see me like she does? He's like, I never met you. He's like, I saw your invitation. He's like, that was like an insult to me. I didn't even want to come. But you know what? I need to let go because I'm starting my family and I need to move past that. And he said to me, whatever memory you have of our father, hold on to them because at least he was dead to you. And he was. Like, I had a fantastic relationship with my father. My brother, he had such an explosive temper. And it was from that rejection. He's like, he actually said to me, I felt rejection. He's like, I'm sorry I couldn't call you, but I could not bring myself to speak to you. But he's like, I just wanted to let you know I forgive you. But you know what? I didn't even know he held that against me. So this morning, who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to let go? Just really think about it. For 27 years, well, he's older than me for 30 years. He had held this resentment towards me. I didn't know about it. But imagine what he felt when he looked at me. Imagine what he felt, you know, just now We actually went and visited them a few years ago. We stayed at their home. He's come and visited me. Before he got married, he came and introduced his wife to me. And God is restoring that relationship. Amen. So just because you had an absent father, or you had a strict father, or you had some authority figure hurt you, does not mean you do not trust God. Because you know what? That is the enemy robbing you of your destiny. That is the enemy robbing you of walking in that thing, you know, the Bible said, we have not seen, we have not heard. Amen. Another symptom of a sick soul is feelings of rejection. One of the signs that you have rejection in your heart is you control. So you control your environment. Do you have to have it right all the time? Do you have to have the last say? In an argument, are you the last person that has to say, yes, I got that in? Are you never wrong? Do you find it difficult to apologize when you're wrong, or just apologize at all? Do you have an inferiority complex? I used to have a very, very strong one. I used to travel with Pastor Mirella quite a bit, and we would go out, and I'd say to her, and I didn't want to go after a while. She's like, why? I'm like, well, when I walk in, they look at me. She's like, no, they're not. I'm like, look around. I'm the only black person in this room. And I didn't want to go, but she kept letting me. And God started to deal with me and say, you know, the color of your skin does not disqualify you from doing anything. It doesn't have to be skin. It could be your body. It could be not the right height. It could be you're too tall, you're too short, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too brown, you're too white, whatever it is. Whatever it is, that is a lie from the enemy. Amen. That is a lie from the enemy robbing you, robbing me from walking in our destiny. Now I'm proud and black and I'll walk anywhere. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. And that's the reality. Not everyone will like you. And that's okay. That's actually okay. Just hang around people who actually like you. And you know what? Because they will build you up. That is why we come to church. Church is a group of believers that come together. And we lift each other up. We raise each other up. We walk. You know, I think of so many times I've been down and out. But church has always been the constant thing. Amen? Church has always been the constant thing. Another symptom that you've got a sick soul is if you have a stronghold of wrong think, a stronghold. A stronghold basically is wrong thinking patterns. The most basic, you know, you can go deep into theology, it will become something else. But ask yourself, are my thoughts in agreement with God? How do you know when they line up with what the Bible says? If they're not, you're in agreement with the enemy. So if it is saying, if I had the I have the opportunity to speak this morning, but if I say to Pastor Mirella, I can't because I'm not worthy, that is an agreement with the enemy. Because God has saved me. I might not be worthy to stand in front of you, but the grace of God upon me gives me the privilege and stamps me to say, yes, I can stand here. And that applies to everybody. Wherever you're serving in this house, that is a stamp from God to say, yes, you can do it. I'm bearing my soul. Job 3:25. Antonella, you need tissue. I can see people crying. Job 3:25. Whatever you say. What I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. You know, so many times, you know, you read the story of Job and people are like, oh, God allowed Satan to come in. I think this is why he came in. Because this is what Job says. What I always feared has happened to me. That means in his mind, in his thoughts, he feared that all he had would one day go away. And do you know what he did? He gave legal access, which is what I was going to preach about. He gave the devil legal access to actually come into his life because he had those thoughts. And do you know who put those thoughts in there? It was the devil. So every day, take an audit of your thought. If it's every 5 seconds, if it's every 10 seconds, when you get those thoughts, you're like, is this a God-honoring thought? Or it's not? If it's not, it says pulling down every high thing that raises itself above the name of Jesus. So any thought that tells you you're lesser than what God created, God says we are created in his image. So any thought that tells you you're lesser than that is from the enemy. And you need to pull it down. And it literally means rebuke that thought. Use your words. Say, I rebuke you. It's a joke in our family because we say it all the time. Even my kids are starting to say, I rebuke it. Amen. Do you have unhealthy fears that need to be addressed? You know, the world accepts fear of heights, fear of snakes, fear of spiders. Fear is not from God. Fear is not from God. Do you have uncrippling, unhealthy fears that stop you from enjoying God's nature, that stop you from standing in front of people? You know, most of that is rooted either in pride. Like actually, when you say, I'm shy, that's just on the scale of pride. So there's the boastful, I am all I am. You know, it's all about me. That's pride. And then there's, I'm not good enough. That's pride. Because you want to self-preserve. That's why you don't want to stand in front of people. Amen. There are many other symptoms of a sick soul. So how do you fix it? I'm just going to go through some points. How do we fix it? Most of us make the mistake of trying to deal with the symptoms. All these things I've spoken about are symptoms of a deeper issue. So how do you know how to deal with it? The root may not be obvious to you. For me, it hasn't. When God has dealt with me, actually at the start of the year, God told me he wanted to declutter my physical life and my soul. And he said, as I would start to clean out our house of just junk, he would start dealing with my soul. So this, what I'm talking about, this has been my last 10 months. This is what God is doing. And honestly, some of the stuff that's unearthed, I'm like, God, I didn't even know that stuff was there. So you need to deal with the root. And how do we do that? At the start, I said to you, you partner with the Holy Spirit. As I'm talking, be talking to him. You know, God has created us to do multiple things. We can do multiple things. Be talking to him and say, God, why do I have this feeling? Why do I always feel rejected? Why do I always feel people are attacking me? Why do I always feel I'm not good enough? Sometimes he'll drop it in your spirit, but sometimes it needs a lot of work. It needs months and months of constantly going to God. So the first thing we need to do, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Amen. We do it by renewing our minds. Research by Dr. Caroline Lee says it takes 63 days to break a toxic thought, develop a new healthy thinking thought, and then cement that healthy thought. So if I truly want to procrastinate, I need to dedicate the next 63 days to daily be doing something to help me walk that journey of breaking that procrastination in my life. And I can't be doing two things at the same time. It has to be one thing at a time, unless God supernaturally just wipes it off. Amen. So we need to be renewing our mind. How do we renew our mind? We spend time in the Word. Actually spending time reading the Bible, not listening to someone else's sermon. Yes, that will renew your mind. But you going to read the Bible. I'm teaching Ethan, my son, how to hear from God. And so what we do it once a week. Saturday or Sunday, where I'll get him to read a chapter. He reads the chapter, and then I'll get him to summarize what he read to me, and then I'll say, what is God saying to you? Last week, he gets to pick what story he wants to read, but we're just in the New Testament. We read about the story where the four friends open the roof and they bring their friend down. And he said to me, Mom, I was like, all right, so what is God saying to you? He said, number one, Jesus was there. And he's like, Jesus is there for me, Mom. And he said, the Pharisees, he's like, oh, those people who always speak stuff to me that's not nice, but Jesus ignored them. I've never seen that point. He's 8, 9, 2 days. But that's the thing. When you go to God, he will speak to you what you need to hear. And the third thing he said was, God was like, oh, I need to be patient with my brother. Because he always says that. Noah's annoying me. Noah's annoying me. But you know what? Because he did that, all I had to say through the day was, what did God say to you? It's like, oh, yes. And his behavior would just change straight away. So in the morning, what are you feeding your soul on? Are you feeding it on the news? Are you feeding it on sport? Are you feeding it on Instagram? Are you feeding it on Facebook? Whatever you're feeding your mind on, your soul on, that is what will sustain you. But if you're feeding it from a wrong source, you're just depleting your soul's health. Amen. The second thing, partner with the Holy Spirit to discover the source of brokenness. Like I said, it's not obvious what you think might be the source of the brokenness. Number three, you need to forgive. You need to forgive yourself. And then you need to forgive those who have hurt or abandoned you. I think most people find it harder to forgive ourselves. You know, you hear so many times, oh, I've wasted so much of my life. But you know what? God is not a respecter of age, of male, female. Even if today is your last day on earth and you say, God, I want to partner with you, that last day on earth will be the best day of your life. And number four, we need to trust God's leading, direction, and allow him to heal you. Pastor Mirella and I are really praying how to, you know, walk this out next year with the church. Like, we really strongly feel that for the next season, like what God told me at the start of the year was, I want you to detox your soul, because if you do not do that, you're not ready for the next stage. So I need to be healthier in my soul to be able to carry the next season of my life. And we believe that's the same for this church, that we have to get real. We need to stop playing church. We need to stop, you know, looking at each other thinking our lives are perfect. They're not. But the thing about church, we come, we gather together, and we lift each other up. And as a church, we go to new levels together. Amen? Amen. Gleek, I'll just get you up. So I'm just going to open up a bit about my life again. You know, God, like I've said, he's been doing deep soul surgery in me. He's spoken to my spirit that for me to walk into the next season, there are things that I need to deal with. I grew up in a home that had domestic violence. I didn't know it was domestic violence till, you know, now I'm grown. My parents used to fight. I honestly think if they didn't divorce, one of them would have died. It was bad. It was bad. Like, I remember this one time my dad trying to push my mom down on a stove. I remember them wielding knives. This is before I was 7. And I remember the day my mom decided she was going to go. You know, I was happy. I was happy because I knew she would live. She came to my bedroom. I was 7. And she said to me, I'm sorry, I have to do this to you. I'm going to talk to you as a grown-up. And I want you to act as a grown-up. I have 2 younger brothers. And she said to me, I want you to look after them. I want you to be strong for them. And can you also be strong for me? And she gave me a kiss and she left. This year, the Holy Spirit showed me that I lost part of my childhood because I had to grow up. The symptoms, self-motivation, anyone who knows you will tell you I would drive past, I can push myself. Now I can't see you because I've got my glasses on. I have the ability in me to push myself beyond anything. You set a goal in front of me, I will get there. Thank you. And he said the other thing that happened to me that day was I assumed responsibility for things I was not supposed to assume responsibility for. And the other thing I learned to mask my emotions. When I was happy, when I was sad, angry, I had the same phase. I have really close people in my lives have told me previously, you don't show emotion. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm really angry right now, which is how I speak to my kids. I'm like, I'm really angry with you. That, but you don't sound, I'm like, I am. But I assumed this responsibility. I felt I had to protect my mom. I felt I had to be strong for my brothers. And I also felt I had to protect my dad from all the slander and all the... And my parents divorced in 1990 in Africa. That was taboo. So I had to deal with the shame of kids mocking me because, oh, you know, you come from a broken family. I never used to talk much about my family. So responsibility, that's a good thing. Self-motivation, that's a good thing. Masking your emotions is actually a good thing. But you know what? As I masked the emotions inside, there was a volcano of emotions. But I learned to suppress it. I learned to put it down. Now I've learned to express my emotions. My husband can tell you. I do not hold back. But then I sensed God saying he wanted to heal my abandonment. I was shocked. I'm like, God, I don't feel like I was abandoned. I don't feel I experienced abandonment. I grew up, when my parents divorced, life was good. Because when I was with my mom, it was fantastic. When I was with my dad, it was fantastic. And I felt, my dad's passed on now, but I've always felt connected to both my parents. And I deeply love my family. But God explained to me that I had experienced emotional abandonment and I had given up parts of my childhood. Like I've said, the symptoms were high self-motivation, independence, perfectionism, controlling my environment to safeguard against unexpected things that could happen. This created safety for me. It created a fake home. But you know what God said to me? He said to me, I want you to come to me as my daughter, not as a wife, not as a mother, not as a manager. I just want you to come to me as my daughter. And I want to love on you. Do you know what I say to myself every morning now? I belong, which is what he told me. He said, I belong. And then he said to me, I don't want you to give up on your motivation. But I want your motivation to come from me. I want you to have God motivation, not self-motivation. Because with self-motivation, you burn out. And you know what? I'm experiencing such freedom in my life. It's internal. Nothing external has changed. But I don't care about things anymore. I don't know if Gilbert can attest. I think there's more joy in our house now. There's just things that would drive me crazy don't drive me crazy anymore. I'm like, you know what? I belong to God. That's all that matters, even at work. You know, there's so much stuff happening. People ask me, how come you're so chilled? I'm like, you know what? I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to deal with everything. Because I've got a father who loves me with my flaws and all. Amen. I'll just get the worship team to come up. Can we do 6415E Healing Rain. Thanks. So right now, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to get deep in your soul and to begin to heal the root, not just the symptoms. So if it is rejection you feel, ask the Holy Spirit, why do I feel rejection? Guys, I'll just get you to turn the lights on just to give everyone a bit of privacy. Lights off, sorry. So if you can, go back to the place where the pain occurred. If it's an event, if you don't know, actually ask the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, I've shared it here. I had a fear of going to the dentist. Like, just sitting in that chair would literally, I would feel like my life was going to go. And one day, in my prayer time, God said, do you know why you fear? When I was younger, one of my dad's workers, through the turmoil that was happening, he had held me in a grip that I could not move. And the dentist's chair brought those feelings up in me. So the Holy Spirit took me back to the event and started to heal me. Now I can go to the dentist. I can even book. I'll still go and see the one dentist, but at least I can go. So allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now. So like me, is it abandonment? It could be an obvious abandonment where your parents left you. You know, your parents disowned you, or you were the child, the black sheep of the family. You know, such an awful phrase. And you could have felt abandonment, or you could have felt abandonment emotionally. I didn't even know that. The root could be shame. Have you been shamed because of who you are? Your body, your skin, your education, the way you talk. Have you been called a bad boy, a bad girl? So these are some of the symptoms for regret, for shame. Do you have regret? Do you have self-condemnation? Do you always talk yourself down? Do you have a bad body image? Constantly weighing, constantly looking at yourself. Boys, constantly flexing, you know. Another root could be an orphan lifestyle. Did your mom abandon you? Did your father abandon you? Did they abuse you, or even your uncles, your aunts? Do you feel like you're voiceless? Do you feel like no one can hear your voice, that your voice does not count? That's a symptom of an orphan lifestyle. Do you have bitterness? Have you been blamed for something you didn't do? Have you been punished beyond the measure of what was a reasonable punishment for something you did? That's a root, bitterness. Do you have anxiety? Anxiety could be a root or a symptom. Do you have deception? Is your view of the world skewed? That could be a root. That could be a symptom. I'll just get everyone on their feet. So right now, like I said to you, I was scared to bring this message because I know it's touched someone. And the fact that God got me to change this at 9:30 last night, I know someone in here needs to hear it. So allow God to heal you. But you know what? Allowing God to heal you means you being open, letting Him actually look into your soul, look into your heart, and say, God, I don't know how to do this. I invite you to come in. God will not force Himself into your heart. God will not force Himself. You have to invite Him. Just like I said, when He speaks a prophetic word, it's an invitation. We have to do the same. We have to say, Holy Spirit, come in and help me deal with this. Ask Him for words to replace what you had been believing. So my word is, I belong and I am safe. very simple phrases, but they are redefining who I am. I say to myself maybe 100 times through the day, I belong. I've been meaning to write it on our mirror. So when you see it, Gilbert, you know why. And you need to forgive yourself. It's okay. What's happened's happened. We can't change the past, but we can change our future. Our emotions, you know, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control the way you respond to that. Amen. So I'll just get the worship to go up, and I'll just get everyone to just connect with God this moment, this morning, and just allow Him, to speak to your soul. Allow Him to heal your soul. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer this morning. Actually, if anyone just wants to come to the altar and lay down at the altar and say, God, I am bringing my hurts, I'm bringing my unforgiveness, I invite you to come forward. You know, God is saying to someone that I love you the way you are. You don't need to change yourself. God is saying to someone, I know what they've done to you. I was there when they did it to you. But just come, because I want to love you, daughter. I want to love you, son. God is saying to someone this morning that, yes, I know of that secret sin that you have, but just come and lay it at the altar this morning. Let's start afresh. Let's start afresh. It doesn't matter what you've done. But I just want to love you, my son. I want to love you, my daughter. I sense God saying this morning to someone that you do not need to be perfect. You don't need to be in control. Because I already did that. Come into my heart. Come into my presence. Wait on me. Wait on me. And I will tell you what to do. I will give you the strategies that you need daily. I'll give you the strategies that you need daily. If you need to come to the altar this morning, it's not about me. It's between you and God. And God, I hope He's used a bit of my story to reveal some things in your life. To reveal some things in your life.